All lovely voices, wouldn't you agree? Welcome to the call. I love hearing entrepreneurs, people with hope and vision and coming to this call. It's a beautiful sound. Each of you have a beautiful voice, and thank you for being on this call and using your ears and using your voice to come together in a mastermind session where we can learn some things that will help us move forward in a better fashion in life. And that's what we do here every day, my friends. This last couple of days, we've been studying fear. And Dr. Napoleon Hill starts out this discussion of fear by calling fear ghosts. He says there's six ghosts of fear. And we've talked about the fear of criticism. We've talked about the fear of poverty. And we're going to talk about another fear today. But before we do, I was just pondering this morning the subject of fear in general. And I was thinking about how fear has played a part in my life, and I wanted to share just a couple of thoughts before we learn about the fear of ill health. You know, I believe that fear affects all of us at one point or another, and if we say we have no fear, I don't know, that's probably a rare type of individual that has completely eliminated fear from his or her life. But I thought about fear and how fear has impacted me in my life and my business. And I remember not too long ago, probably 2 years ago, 16 months ago, 2 years ago, I had a couple of fears. The first fear I had was I had the fear of talking to people. I literally had the fear of picking up the phone and talking to people about my business. And the other fear I had is I had the fear of speaking in public and getting on a conference call and sharing some thoughts. And I remember specifically saying to myself, you know, what will people think? And what if I say the wrong things? You know, what will people think of me? And these fears kept me from picking up the phone. They kept me from getting on a conference call. They kept me from doing things that I was going to obtain some real richness and greatness from, greatness of blessings from in life. And these fears kept me back for quite some time until finally I ran into this book, Think You Are Rich by Dr. Napoleon Hill. And Dr. Hill started to teach me about how I could build faith in myself. Even if it didn't exist before, if I had a little bit of lack of self-confidence and if I had fear, I could start to replace it with faith by auto-suggestion. And I started repeating to myself this major definite purpose and this self-confidence formula. And what started happening was my confidence level in myself started to rise, and I started to care a little bit less and less about, you know, messing up or saying the wrong thing. And I started picking up the phone and I started taking action. And then I started seeing some results, just a little bit of results. But the results combined with my building of my self-confidence just fueled the fire. And when I saw one result, when I saw a hit of success, I started to believe a little bit more the things that I was telling myself. And my confidence started to rise until there was one day when I decided that, you know, hey, I'm going to pick up the phone and do a conference call, or I'm going to do a webinar, and I'm not going to worry so much about what are people going to think of me, because this faith in myself had started to replace this fear. And yesterday, we had a conference call for our primary business last night, and yesterday afternoon I was thinking to myself, you know, do I want to just give, you know, a big long sales pitch? As much as I love my company, that would be fine if I did. But I said to myself, you know, what I'd really like to do is share something that might impact somebody's life. I'd like to think back on some truths that have happened in my life that somebody could take from my life and implement in their lives. And I started to think about this. And so last night on this conference call, I went into this conference call with that intention. And I did the very best that I could. And a little bit later on in the evening, I get several emails, and I wanted to share with you just a couple of them. One of them says, "Hey, Paul, notice what time it is. I just finished listening to the recording of tonight's phone call. It's 12:27 a.m. here in Austin. Great call, all bolds, exclamation, exclamation. There's 5 exclamation points. I forwarded the info about the call to my friend, and I hope that he gets a chance to hear it. It was indeed inspiring. I'm getting my schedule reworked so I can be on more of these calls, especially the weekday morning call. That's this call. Typically, I'm doing some other things with my business, but I know these calls can make a difference in not only my home business, but also each business in which I'm involved, and even more than that, in my life. So I'll be becoming a regular on those calls as well. Thank you for sending the info about tonight's recording. It was a blessing to me. Bold, underline, exclamation point, it was a blessing to me. And then I get another email this morning from a very dear friend who ends her email with the line, "I believe in you. I have complete faith in the leadership of our company, and I believe we'll use challenge as a fuel to move forward." But that, think about those words, "I believe in you." And I think back to this self-confidence formula, and, you know, one of the lines in that self-confidence formula is, "I will cause others to believe in me. I will cause others to believe in me because of my belief in them," or "I will cause others to serve me because of my willingness to serve." And I realize that this self-confidence formula and taking a little bit of action and combining it with the self-confidence formula and raising my faith has resulted in a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, where not only have I developed some faith in myself, but now I'm in a position where I'm helping some people. I'm literally helping some people, and I'm literally taking a little bit of what I have in my soul, a little bit of the hope, a little bit of the light, a little bit of the fire, and I'm able to share that with others. And it's the most beautiful thing. But I think back on, what if I would have let my fear stop me from doing some of these things? You know, what not only how would my life not be impacted, but what about some of these people? There's a few that have maybe had a brighter vision of what their future might hold for them if I would have let fear stop me from, you know, building my faith in myself and building my self-confidence and just reaching down and trying to find some things I could share value. And the question is, whose life will be impacted if you decide to let fear stop you from picking up the phone? Or whose life will be impacted if you decide to let fear stop you from living your passion and finding out what it is that you're meant to share with the world? Whose life will maybe not be enhanced and not have a little bit of hope through just a simple phone call that you could make to somebody by picking up the phone? And we start to realize, when we really think about these things, that fear is insidious, because it stops us from living the lives that we're meant to live. It stops us from living fully. It stops us from, you know, just doing all those things that we can do, that helping the people that we can help. I think you kind of get what I'm saying. I was having these thoughts, and I wanted to share them with you, because it's such an important topic, and it's something that we do need to understand, and we do need to learn to rid our lives as much as we possibly can from fear. Because there are great, 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 great blessings in store for you and your life, and also great, 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 great blessings in store for many people that maybe you know now, or maybe even many people that you've yet to meet. But in order for those types of things to start to happen, we really do have to eliminate fear. We really do have to build ourselves. We really do have to grow our confidence. And, you know, there's a scripture from the Bible that comes to mind. And it's something to the effect of, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." And if we think, you know, walking around with a hangdog expression and not believing in ourselves is something that is virtuous or something that, you know, God would want us to do, I would like us to take pause in that thought and just think about that. Really? You know, really, is that what we're meant to do, have fear and live our lives ridden with fear? it's really not. You know, you don't have to think too hard to come to the logical conclusion that we are given the spirit of fear, of love, and of power, and of a sound mind if we will choose. We will choose right now, this day, to learn to eliminate that fear and build faith and build belief. You know, I was talking to Doc Fran the other day, and we were talking about hope, you know, and he said, always, always give hope. And I said, you do. I said, that's right, Doc. We always have to give hope. What's the alternative? That's what I said. What's the alternative, you know, to giving hope to people? It's lack of hope. It's dreary. It's, you know, it's just not an alternative that I want to be engaged in. So always have hope and always strive to lift people up and eliminate those fears and move forward. Now, that being said, let's study particularly this fear of ill health, and then I'm so excited to hear the mastermind discussion today. The fear of ill health. This fear may be traced to both physical and social heredity. It is closely associated as to its origin with the causes of fear of old age and the fear of death, because it leads one closely to the border of terrible worlds, of which man knows not, but concerning which he has been taught some discomforting stories. The opinion is somewhat general also that certain unethical people engaged in the business of selling health have had not a little to do with keeping alive the fear of ill health. In the main, man fears ill health because of the terrible pictures which have been planted in his mind of what may happen if death should overtake him. He also fears it because of the economic toll which it may claim. A reputable physician estimated that 75% of all people who visit physicians for professional service are suffering with hypochondria, imaginary illness. It has been shown most convincingly that the fear of disease, even where there is not the slightest cause for fear, often produces the physical symptoms of the disease feared. Powerful and mighty is a human mind. It builds or destroys. Playing upon this common weakness of fear of ill health, dispensers of patent medicines have reaped fortunes. This form of imposition upon credulous humanity became so prevalent some 20 years ago that Collier's Weekly Magazine conducted a bitter campaign against some of the worst offenders in the patent medical business. During the flu epidemic, which broke out during the World War, the mayor of New York City took drastic steps to check the damage which people were doing themselves through their inherent fear of ill health. He called in the newspaper men and said to them, "Gentlemen, I feel it necessary to ask you not to publish any scare headlines concerning the flu epidemic. Unless you cooperate with me, we will have a situation which we cannot control." The newspapers quit publishing stories about the flu, and within 1 month, the epidemic had been successfully checked. Through a series of experiments conducted some years ago, it was proved that people may be made ill by suggestion. We conducted this experiment by causing three acquaintances to visit the victims, each of whom asked the question, "What ails you?" "You look terribly ill." The first questioner usually provoked a grin and a nonchalant, "Oh, nothing, I'm all right," from the victim. The second questioner was answered with the statement, "I don't know exactly, but I do feel badly." The third questioner was usually met with the frank admission that the victim was actually feeling ill. Try this on an acquaintance if you doubt that it will make him uncomfortable, but do not carry the experiment too far. There is a certain religious sect whose members take vengeance upon their enemies by the hexing method. They call it placing a spell on the victim. There is overwhelming evidence that disease sometimes begins in the form of a negative thought impulse. Such an impulse may be passed from one mind to another by suggestion or created by an individual in his own mind. A man who is blessed with more wisdom than this incident might indicate once said, "When anyone asks me how I feel, I always want to answer by knocking him down." Doctors send patients into new climates for their health because a change of mental attitude is necessary. The seed of fear of ill health lives in every human mind. Worry, fear, discouragement, disappointment in love and business affairs caused this seed to germinate and grow. The recent business depression kept the doctors on the run because every form of negative thinking may cause ill health. Disappointments in business and in love stand at the head of the list of causes of fear of ill health. A young man suffered a disappointment in love which sent him to a hospital. For months he hovered between life and death. A specialist in suggestive therapeutics was called in. The specialist changed nurses, placing him in charge of a very charming young woman who began by prearrangement with the doctor to make love to him the first day of her arrival on the job. Within 3 weeks, the patient was discharged from the hospital, still suffering, but with an entirely different malady. He was in love again. The remedy was a hoax. hoax, but the patient and the nurse were later married. Both are in good health at the time of this writing. Symptoms of the fear of ill health. The symptoms of this almost universal fear are autosuggestion, the habit of negative use of self-suggestion by looking for and expecting to find the symptoms of all kinds of disease, enjoying imaginary illness and speaking of it as being real, the habit of trying all fads and isms recommended by others as having therapeutic value, talking to others of operations, accidents, and other forms of illness, experimenting with diets, physical exercises, reducing symptoms without professional guidance, trying home remedies, patent medicines, and quack remedies, hypochondria, the habit of talking of illness, concentrating the mind upon disease, and expecting its appearance until a nervous break occurs. Nothing that comes in bottles can cure this condition. It is brought on by negative thinking, and nothing but positive thought can effect a cure. Hypochondria, a medical term for imaginary disease, is said to do as much damage on occasion as the disease one fears might do. Most of the so-called cases of nerves come from imaginary illness. Exercise. Fear of ill health often interferes with proper physical exercise and results in overweight by causing one to avoid outdoor life. Susceptibility. Fear of ill health breaks down nature's body resistance and creates a favorable condition for any form of disease one may contact. The fear of ill health often is related to the fear of poverty, especially in the case of the hypochondriac who constantly worries about the possibility of having to pay doctor's bills, hospital bills, etc. This type of person spends much time preparing for sickness, talking about death, saving money for cemetery lots and burial expenses, etc. Self-coddling. The habit of making a bid for sympathy, using imaginary illness as the lure. People often resort to this trick to avoid work. The habit of feigning illness to cover plain laziness or to serve as an alibi for lack of ambition. Intemperance. The habit of using alcohol or narcotics to destroy pains, such as headaches, neuralgia, etc., instead of eliminating the cause. The habit of reading about illness and worrying over the possibility of being stricken by it. The habit of reading patent medicine advertisements. And that, my friends, is a description given to us by Napoleon Hill of the fear of ill health. And I do find it fascinating, and I do believe it to be true, that what we think absolutely has an impact on the lives that we live. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen relatives who had a condition, and because of that condition, literally made themselves completely, well, I don't want to say completely, but almost completely miserable. You know, I could go on and on with story after story about this one individual that I'm thinking in my mind, and I know of another individual who had the exact same condition who, rather than let that condition get him down in life, used it as a stepping stone to inspire so many people around him and actually live a life of fullness. So this is a fascinating topic, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts. Let's open up the lines. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
How you doing, young man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and I mean that with all sincerity. One of the things that I practice, oftentimes you hear a person say, you know, what age someone is, and I always comment that, for instance, even now I'm 73 years young, and anytime given my age, I always add the word young to it. And it's really unbelievable because, you personally have met or seen me, but most people haven't, to realize that that your body reacts to that. And your thinking processes has a great deal to do with your health. And so if you start thinking right and not fooling yourself, in fact, all of us that play those games, some of the things that you were reading off or talking about, we don't truly understand the laws, and we're truly working right against working against ourselves. And there's no shortcut. There's no something for nothing. There's a price to be paid either through your work or your thinking, which is a form of work in itself. If you want a good life and you want those laws and principles to work on your behalf. But just a good thought for everyone. Anytime someone asks you for your age, rather than add old to the end of it, just add young to the end of it, and not only say that, but believe it. And you'll see yourself acting and functioning and carrying on just as such. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, Melvin, and I have met you, and you are a living example of what we're talking about. You are a young man, and anyone who's met you will have that exact same comment. Your face, your body, you're young, you're full of life, and that's somebody who's practicing what's being preached here. So thank you, Melvin. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
This is Bill Winch.
Good morning.
Bill, good morning.
James Best.
Good morning. I would like just to add to what Melvin just said. I also am 73 years old, and people do not believe it. And the reason that I look young, I feel young, I act young is because I think young. What happens is so many people, when you turn a certain age, they hang around with people that age who are also thinking, well, I'm going to be sick. They talk about sicknesses. So what I do is I surround myself with people who are younger, who think good but are younger. And I hear them about talking about their future, the good things. I taught school for many years, so therefore I was always involved with youth. And I hear young ideas. I don't hear people, you know, complaining about the next trip to the hospital, the next trip to the doctor, and how many ibuprofens are going to take today to get rid of their headache, rather than finding out, you know, what do I need to do to keep healthy, exercising each day. But it's your whole attitude as to how you look young and how you feel young and how fast you age. It's strictly up to you. And, you know, fear of getting older is what we're talking here, is that people fear to getting older, so they let all these things get in their way of being who they really are, and they don't really enjoy life. I mean, one of my greatest enjoyments in life is going on a Disney cruise where it's geared toward younger thinking, not kids, but people who really enjoy life. And I like to think young and be with people who think that same way. And that's one reason I enjoy this call, that you hear the same thing. People who have that the environment of excitement, looking for the future, wanting to make things happen. That's what keeps me going. People like you, Paul, I really enjoyed your call last night. It was absolutely incredible. And it's that type of thinking that makes me want to get up every morning. Again, thanks a lot, Paul, and back to you.
Bill, holy smokes, wow. You're another living, breathing example. You know, I have a relative who's in his late 60s. And every time they have a little teeny tiny issue with the computer, it's the end of the world. And you know, just can't, you know, just, you know, and has this perception that, well, I'm old and computers are just not for me. Bill, you're 73. You're internet marketer, alive, vibrant. Wow, that's amazing, Bill. Really appreciate you sharing those thoughts. Star 6, who's next? Wow, some great people to learn from here. James, good morning. Go ahead.
How are you today?
Great.
Just wanted to jump in really quickly. It has a lot to do with what the gentleman just said, your attitude, because I have been, so to say, training myself and my mind that no matter what I am dealing with, no matter what is going on in my life, every day is a wonderful day. And they get better by the minute because, like I said, no matter what is going on, it's how you look at things and it's how you deal with things because, you know, it's just like it's lining up with all things that we were talking about. But if you train yourself and train your mind, it makes it a lot easier to, you know, do some of the things that we talk about, to deal with a lot of the things that life will, you know, throw at you, you know, as just a part of life. So, you know, if your attitude is where it needs to be, you can tell yourself, and then that shows through you to other people. because, you know, I want to say a couple of just over brokes that I had, people used to call me Mr. Wonderful. And not because, you know, I was, you know, my last name is Best, but, you know, I wasn't the best at, you know, all of the things that I was doing at that particular job. But my attitude was that no matter what is going on, it's not going to mess my day up. It's not going to mess my week up. It's not going to mess my month up. I'm going to handle it when I can. I'll get to it when I can. But my attitude, I've been training myself since I was, you know, younger that, you know, I can't live by stress. I will not live by stress. I live stress-free. And, you know, if I can't take care of it now, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not going to mess up my day. You know, what you see is that, you know, this guy is positive. This guy is, you know, he has his mind where, you know, he will grow. He has his mindset where, you know, he doesn't let the little things, so to say, get to him. And, you know, I mean, some people, they don't, they ask me, how can you do that? Because I might tell someone, you know, a situation that may be going on in my life, but they say, okay, well, it doesn't show because, you know, you don't let it, you know, get to you or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I just wanted to add that it has a lot to do with your attitude, but we can train ourselves to, you know, have these mindsets and these thought patterns that, you know, like you said, we protect our mind from different things. So I just wanted to say that. I do appreciate everyone on the call, especially you, Paul. And back to you. I'm going to pass it back to you.
James, thank you. Excellent comments, and really love your example and your outlook on life. You are a very, very, you have one of the best attitudes that I've ever seen in a person. So kudos to you, my friend. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
John Young.
Let's see. I think LaVie beat you by a split second. Todd, is that okay?
More than okay. I'd love to hear from her.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? I just wanted to add something about the frame of mind. I'll tell a really quick story. Back in 2008, when I was pregnant with my second son, I had a very bad accident, and at the time I didn't know, but at the time it had broken my back, my L4, L5, S1. So I went throughout the entire pregnancy in pain. They attributed the pain to, of course, the pregnancy because I gained, of course, a lot of weight. I gained about 90 pounds when I was pregnant, so they assumed that I was just experiencing a lot of back pain because of that. Long story short, after I had my son, I went through a series of tests, one being a discogram, and voila, they find out that I have a broken back. Two of my lower discs are cracked, broken, they're leaking fluid. So I had a series of surgeries. The last surgery I had was in December of 2010, which was a spinal disc fusion. Long story short, I had to end up having a fusion. I went to Kessler's Rehabilitation. I had to learn how to walk all over again. And to my surprise, even after the fusion, which I'll add, a spinal disc fusion, if anybody's had it, is one of the most excruciating things in the world. I'd rather have 20 more kids with a cesarean section than to do something like that. But I got through it. I learned how to walk all over again. Long story short, then I ended up still feeling a lot of pain. And come to find out, the surgeon that operated on me fused the wrong level. He fused the lower level underneath the most symptomatic disc. And I found out that you're supposed to always fuse a disc and have a healthy disc above any fusions. So now I am still today walking around with one broken disc and one wrong fused level. And a lot of people, unless it's my close friends or my acquaintances, people that are in my circle that have been through this journey with me, they don't know how people really don't know that. Well, most people don't even assume that I'm still walking around with a broken back, because most people with bad disc, slip disc, broken disc can barely walk. But even though I experience pain, it's not excruciating because I don't give it too much power and too much energy. In the beginning, I used to focus on it. It would have me in a bed all day. It'd take me a long time to get out of bed. Doing activities, it was very difficult for me to do things like clean my house, take care of my son. But I made up my mind that either I would allow this to defeat me and take over me, because I've seen people that have experienced a lot of pain who are bedridden, who don't get out of bed, who don't have quality of life, and I'm really too young. I decided I'm too young to actually let that defeat me. So I make a conscious decision every day to get up and focus on other things so that I do not give too much energy and too much power into my back pain. Like today, it's raining. I'm in pain, but guess what? I have two presentations to do. I'm not going to lay in the bed. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do what I need to do, because I realize the more energy that you focus on pain or negativity or ill health, the more it's going to fester, and the more the greater it usually grows. So for me, it's a matter of focusing on something else, giving it a little energy, but not too much for it to destroy my day or destroy my months or years or so forth. So I know I have quality of life because I've just decided in my mind that this will not break me down. So that's what I wanted to add to the call.
Wow, Levy, thank you so very much. I really appreciate that. Todd, go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everybody. Today's a special day. And, Leviv, great thoughts, great words, great mindset. Focus on something else, you know, when you have fear and pain in your life. Isn't that so true? You know, Paul, and all my dear friends on this call, you know, I've said for many, many years that I've never had a bad day in my life. And learned that from my grandpa, you know, and lived that. You know, everybody knows my last name is Young, so I've always said my whole life, you know, I'm always going to be young. I'm always going to be young. You know, little did I know that when I was young that I was brainwashing myself into thinking that I was always going to be young. And, you know, I believe that fear is a disease of our minds, you know, and the cure is truth and awareness and our mindset. And that's why I enjoy being on this call every day, to hear and listen to all of you. And, you know, the medicine to cure fear is hope. It's a positive mindset, just like what Levy said, focusing on something else. You know, Bill Lynch, 73 years old, would have never guessed that in a million years. Doc Fran, when I talked to Doc Fran for the very first time, would have never have guessed his age in a million years. Melvin, you're in your 70s, would have never guessed that in a million years. And I'm quite sure that a lot of folks on this call are much more experienced than I, and I'm sure I would never guess your age either if I looked into your minds and listened to your voices. And, you know, I'm going to visit my grandpa today, and, you know, when he passed away, he left a treasure trove of information for us. And something my grandpa always used to say is, life is an attitude, and have a great one. And, you know, we found so many books and writings that he did throughout his life, and he left them for us, you know, his family. And he said, live without any fear in your life. You know, and I remember reading that. And fear nothing. You know, my grandpa wrote that for us. And I think that's important for everybody to live by that. You know, other people instill fears in us by their thoughts and their opinions and giving them to us. And sometimes we just sit in life and whether it be poverty or otherwise, you know, we dwell on things and we shouldn't. And life is short. It can be taken away from you in the blink of an eye. And, you know, I've never had a bad day in my life because Doc Fran said that, you know, I woke up today and I'm alive. And that's a great day. And I live my life by the things that I learned as a young child and the things that my grandpa said, and that life is an attitude, and have a great one, and live without any fear, fear nothing. And I, again, will always say, you and I will always be young, and don't live without any fear. And that's the way we need to live our life. And when that happens, you live a happy life. And I'm going to go visit my grandpa up here after this call with other members of my family and rejoice in his life and rejoice in the great wisdom that he left us in writings and the memories in our mind. And I know all of you folks have loved ones as well that aren't with us here in the physical world, but they sure are in our hearts, aren't they? Everybody have a great day. Have a great weekend. I love this call. I love listening to every single one of you. You lift me up. You help me get rid of fear in my mind. And every single one of you on this call help me never have a bad day in my life. And Paul, back to you, my friend.
Todd, wow, thank you. It's amazing. It's amazing that your grandfather can share that wisdom with you and your family, and you can come on here and share it with us. What a beautiful thing. Really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Paul, Greg Misantry.
Greg, I think you were beat by a split second by the lady. Let's have the lady
hey,
go.
Hey, ladies,
Greg,
first.
If that's okay. All right.
Hey, Paul, it's Deborah Palmer over here in Idaho Falls.
Hey, how you doing, Deborah?
I'm doing all right. I've been on these calls for quite a while, and every time I try to chime in, I'm always beat, so I'm happy to be here. I just want to say thank you for having this call. I am so grateful for the power and awareness that comes from participating in this call every day. You know, in the last 5 years, I've been surrounded with people who have had really serious health problems. My husband had lymphoma followed by leukemia. My mother had liver cancer. My mother-in-law had breast cancer. And right now, my dad is sitting in a rehabilitation center fighting for his life from metastasized prostate cancer that has gone into his bones. People who don't know me would probably think I'm a pathological liar because all those things can't possibly happen surrounding one individual. And I have joked at times and said, look at all these people and look at what they have in common. Oh, my gosh, it's me. I'm cancer. It's, you know, of course, that's a negative thing. And I know now not to go there. I just am so thankful for the power that I have to convince my mind that I am well and that these things are not necessarily a hereditary issue, that my children will be well, and that we have the power to exercise that within our minds and be well. I go to visit my dad, and I ask him, Dad, how you doing? And he says, oh, about the same. And I say, Dad, you can't do that. You can't do that to yourself. You're not about the same. You're not the same as you were yesterday. You're better. You're not the same as you were a couple of weeks ago. You're better. And then last week he had a little backslide, and he discovered that he was too weak to get up and do his rehabilitation. He got down to Utah, and they put in a feeding tube and discovered that I don't know if they've never really gotten rid of it or if he's got another bout of pneumonia. And my greatest worry is that he could have a better quality of life if he would tell himself, I'm going to have a better quality of life. Anyway, just some thoughts I wanted to share this morning. Thank you so much, Paul, for the awareness that this call brings to us. Back to you.
Deborah, I really appreciate you coming out and sharing those thoughts and experiences. Really touching, and so glad to hear from you and look forward to hearing more from you in the future. Greg Misantry.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Doing great, man. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the fact. I don't get on every call, but when I do, it's always 100% just a phenomenal call. So thank you so much for doing this. you know, it's touching and it's real and it's phenomenal and it's humbling to be on a call when you can get on one and hear other people's lives, other people's stories, things that are going on in their life, because sometimes life is so busy, you're just stuck in a shell, and all you know is what your family's going through. And, you know, every day online, you read happy, happy, joy, joy, and you don't really get to, you know, you got to get through that cloud of not everything is just, you know, hunky-dory, and it's just, it brings you back to reality. I had, you know, my wife and I don't have kids. We have dogs, but they're just like kids. If you guys are animal lovers, you'll know. So we had our oldest pass away last week, and it's still devastating. And yes, it's not a human, but it's a human to us. And I, you know, getting on this call, like I said, what I was going to say 10 minutes ago when I was trying to get, you know, to say something is so different than now, because I heard Todd, I heard Levy, I heard, you know, the woman that was just on here, and it's touching, and that's what this is about. We're human beings. We're part of something so much bigger than just ourselves, and to really care about another person's well-being is just phenomenal. I heard something about worry. It's worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. And it's so true. You know, I'm, you know, everybody knows Greg, I'm goofy, I'm funny. I just like to, because that's how I deal with things. And I try to make a joke. My wife always tells me to grow up. Meanwhile, I want to grow down. You know what I mean? All right, buddy, take it easy. Listen, the bottom line is, listen, I'm going to let you go here, but I'll leave you with one more thing. My mother always tells me when I'm on the phone, when I go, Mom, I said, Mom, how are you feeling? She says, with my hands, you know, so you could tell where I get my personality from. So with that, I'll leave you with that. I appreciate everybody, and the call is phenomenal as always. Take care.
Love that. Greg, thanks so much. Love that quote you shared. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. What was that? Can you share that one more time? Worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties.
Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength.
Empties today of it. That is powerful. Today of its. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Deborah Caswell.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to let you know I was one of those people who was listening to the replay of your Miracle Money call yesterday, and I also was very touched by that. Thank you so much. I was listening last night as I was laying in bed, going to bed for the evening. Wanted to let you know that, yeah, you know, somewhere in my early 30s, I decided that the birthday I would celebrate every single year is 23. So I have been 23 for a lot of years, and I feel 23. I always do. You know, on my 40th birthday, I decided I deserved it. I deserved to have a 40th birthday, so I celebrated 40 with, you know, as much excitement and enthusiasm as every other 23rd birthday. And it was awesome. And, you know, since then, I've had a few 23s again. And, you know, it's funny. It's that my parents were just here this last week, and had a wonderful time visiting with them, and you know, I always feel when they're here or when I'm at their house, it's just bizarre how you feel like such a kid. I'm an adult, and I'm, you know, I do my own thing, and I'm, you know, very independent and very secure with that. However, it is so fun to feel, you know, I feel 23 all the time, but honestly, when my parents are here, I feel more like 18. Which is really, in my world, that's super cool to me. I love it. But LaVey, I just wanted to give you a shout out. Amazing story. That really, really touched my heart. I do have to say that I too would rather give birth to triplets than have a root canal. So if a root canal is that traumatic for me, I can't imagine what you went through there, and so grateful and thankful to hear that, you know, you focus on being well, and I love that story. So anyway, great call, Paul. I love this call. Todd Young, I love what you say. I love what you said today. There was so much heart in what you were saying about your grandfather, and anyway, I love you all. Thank you, Paul. Back to you.
Deborah, we love you. Wow. Celebrate your 23rd birthday every year. And you know what? Why not? Why not? That's so amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey. Hey, Paul. This is Ashley from Colorado.
Okay, let's see. That was a, let's see, a lady from Colorado. Let's have you go first. Who is that?
Hi, it's Ann from Colorado.
Hi. Oh, hi, Ann. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love your calls, Paul. They are amazing. I'm sorry I didn't start earlier, but I just wanted to say you're as old as you feel, as young as you look, and, hey, life is about having fun, and everybody just keep a positive attitude, and that's all I have to say. God bless everyone.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well said, Anne. Thank you for sharing that with us. There was someone, I think there was someone right before James also. Who was that?
That's Lindy.
Lindy, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, about the fear of aging. I've always said age is just a number. And whenever you're not focused on, you know, I'm getting older, I've got some crow's feet, you know, my skin is thinner, I can see my veins through my skin. And, you know, when you're not focused on that, then you can focus on the positive and being young at heart, because that is where it's at. No matter what it is on the outside, it's being young at heart. And, you know, the fear of ill health. I can remember in my 20s, I was a single mother, and, you know, I worked hard. You have to when you're a single parent. And I remember specifically one day, it was an absolutely beautiful spring day. It was one of the first warm days of the year. And so my daughter and I decided we were going to play hooky from work and school, and we were going to go to the lake. And I called in sick. And I could not believe it, but by the time we got to the lake, I was deathly sick. And I knew I had spoke that into my life, and I never, ever called in sick again, ever. I always said, if I ever want to play hooky, I'm going to call in well. But, you know, one of the things in this chapter, it says auto-suggestion, and it's the habit of negative use of self-suggestion. And isn't it interesting that these fears are the unconscious choices of a negative habit? And how on this call we are learning to replace our negative, unuseful, limiting belief habits with positive ones on purpose. And that, to me, is where the power is, because we get to choose. Each and every one of us, we get to choose. We get to choose who we're going to be. We get to choose what we're going to be. We get to choose what we're going to have. And that, my friends, is power. So with that said, everybody, go out there and make this the best day of your life on purpose. Back to you, Paul.
Lindy, you are such a powerful person. Love what you share every day. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next? I think James had something.
Yeah, really, really, really quickly, I was just going to jump back in. I like to say a term, you know, still relating to what everybody is talking about, but we can be forever young. I know, like, you know, a lot of people, you know, have different terms, but I like to use I am forever young, and I often tell a lot of other people that, because when you live well and you, you know, go through life and you don't do some of the things that, you know, put a toll on, you know, people's lives, you age gracefully. So when you know, like the young lady just said, young at heart, and if you tell yourself that and you feel that and you don't get the, you know, the down attitude and the moping around, you'll feel, you know, live and vibrant and, you know, like I said, the term that I like to use is forever young. So I just wanted to add that really quickly, and back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, James. Appreciate that. *6*. Who's next?
Hey, Paul. It's Anita Young.
Hi, Anita.
I am very fortunate. I have the last name of Young, so I'll never be old. But anyway, and Todd does too. Todd Young. Hey, we've got it made. Anyway, what I wanted to share was my mom has had trouble with atrial fib and arrhythmia for years now. I mean, many, many years. She's 77, almost 78. I took her a canister of Nutriburst. And I said, Mom, you don't get enough fruits and vegetables. I said, as diabetics, we really, really need to see if this might help you because it's got all these fruits and vegetables. And so she goes, oh, I don't know. And I go, just try it. You know, I'm going to leave you this canister. Just try it. Well, 2 weeks later, I was at my sister's and we were out of town at my sister's. And I noticed that my mom had her Nutriburst with her. And I'm thinking, she's actually taking it. And she's at my sister's, which is out of town. So she's feeling better. And I caught her going to Walmart and Walgreens and Kmart. And I'm like, Mom's feeling better. She's going to Bible study. She's getting out of the house and going places. And she goes, Anita, would you order me some more of that? And I don't know, auto-suggestion or maybe it's making her feel better, but she hasn't had trouble with her atrial fib. She hasn't had trouble with arrhythmia. She's feeling better. And I know part of it could be the Nutriburst, but part of it could be auto-suggestion. And I'm here to tell you, my mom is down at the condo with me right now. We're at the condo, and we have guests coming in. But my mom's down here, and she's cooking, and it's amazing. Anyway, back to you, Paul. I'm a Young.
Love that, Anita. Thank you so much for sharing that. Really appreciate it. And I love how you're on vacation, and you're calling into the call. You're at a condo in Branson, right?
I am. I'm at the condo in Branson, and I'm calling in.
That's awesome. Appreciate it.
I got up early this morning. I got up at 6:15, took the dogs out. I got my 3 dogs with me, and they're getting older, but they're like my kids, too. I have Rob, you know. And his grandkids are coming down here in a few hours, and I will have them down here for 2 days. And I get to share them with my relatives that are coming in. And anyway, so, yeah. And I'm going to get my sister-in-law on the replay tonight. She'll be in tomorrow. I'm going to get her on the replay. So I've been trying to get her in on the call, and I even bought her a cell phone. And anyway, God's blessed me financially. I still don't have a job, but I had an unexpected tax return come in, and so I got about $2,000 that I wasn't expecting, and this is just too cool. God's taking care of me. I've been positive, and I've tried not to worry me that I don't have an income yet. And anyway, he's just blessing me, and I just feel great. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Anita. Thank you. *6*, who's next?
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Mike, go ahead, my friend. So good to hear your voice, buddy.
Hey, you got to be careful when you think young and go out and do things that you really shouldn't be doing at a certain age, because you'll find out the next day, geez, maybe I'm not as young as I thought I was. And you'll find aches and pains, and so you have to think that away and push on with life. But it's fun to just enjoy life, whatever age you are, and don't worry about how old you are, but what you can still do with your life. That's what you just have to keep pushing in the back of your head all the time, that it's not age, it's how you feel. How old do you feel? If you feel old, you're going to act old, you're going to look old. So it's all in your head, it's all in your mind. That's all I just wanted to say.
Mike, thank you, and it's good to hear your voice. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Yep.
*6*, who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Kathy Bronner.
Hey, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to share real quickly. A few years back, I had thyroid cancer. And, going through the treatment and everything was, I would say, tiring at best. But it wasn't for the doctor, who was very nonchalant about the whole thing. And I kind of took on a very nonchalant attitude about it. It was just, well, it was a little blip on the radar. Got to take care of it. have the surgery, have the radiation, and move on. And that's really the way I took it. And it wasn't for a couple of years that I was reading something on the Internet, and, of course, the Internet gives you so much information anymore, and I got this newsletter about thyroid cancer, and I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting, and I started reading about it. And I started reading these horror stories from these people that just, I mean, it just totally destroyed their life and just took them in a whole negative way and all the things that they went through. And I stopped reading and I closed it and I went, wow, because it just didn't affect me that way. And I think a lot of it had to do with the attitude. I mean, I've always had a pretty positive attitude anyway, but the way the doctor approached it with me, we're going to do this, this, and we're done. And that's exactly the way I took it. I was tired during it, but we did this, this, and we're done, and I never looked back. And so I definitely believe in the power of a positive attitude in anything like that, and I just wanted to share that.
Kathy, what a great experience. Thank you for sharing that. Just perfect for our discussion today.
Well,
I loved your quote in the group, too, where your son said, question everything, and you said, yeah, everything but what I tell you.
Exactly.
<That's so funny>.
Yeah.
Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. Ann in Colorado.
Hi, Ann.
The other Ann.
Oh, good morning, Ann. The other Ann from Colorado. Welcome.
Thank you. It's funny how in the book it explains how if you get it in your mind, it can happen. When my mother was sick, she told me and my sister, if I get pneumonia, that's it. My dad died from pneumonia. I'm going to die if I get pneumonia. And sure enough, she did. And she could have beat it. The doctor said she could have beat it. But in her mind, she thought that was it. There was no turning back. And the other thing about feeling young and living young, my daughter, who's 17, hates it because people always ask her, is that your sister? Or ask me, are you guys sisters? And I love it, and I tell them, don't tell her. She doesn't like that because she's like, that's my mom. Do not talk about her like that. And I love it because it's such a compliment. But I've always had the idea in my mind, I'm always going to be young. So therefore, I am. But that's all I have to say. Have a great day.
Love that, and you have a great day too, and thanks for that, and good for you. You're doing something right. You're doing something right. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
Neville, I am excellent. How are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I am good, and I'm getting better and better every day. Oh, the things that make life worthwhile enjoying. I'm going to put up a blog, and the blog I'm going to write is the blog is going to be like Life Can Be Beautiful. You know, we talk about a lot of things here happen to us today. And I go back to the young lady who had her spine, Liz? Who had her spine fused, and they fused the wrong one. I tell you, I look at something happened in my life, a couple of things, but I just go for one of the things. But I had gone to the doctor because I was limp, one knee was hurting. And I went to this orthopedic doctor, and he would tell me like that when you're going to do something, do the best you can, or choose the best that you can, so that when you get the results will be what you expect. The doctor scoped my knee. So he said he's good, it's nothing simple. I've never had surgery, never been in a hospital for sickness of myself. You know, I played ball, got hit, got pain everywhere, but got up and eventually disappeared. Went to this orthopedic doctor. He scoped my knee and said it's going to be fine, nothing is simple. It's a, what do you call it, outside surgery, what we call it again. So anyway, had it done. For a year after that, I was limping. The only time I didn't limp is if I went away to the warm, warm weather. I was living in New York at the time and was in the ocean for days, and then I felt good. Came back after a while, even the summer, I was limping. So I went to a doctor in New York, another doctor, but I went to the top this time. Didn't take any chances. Turns out the man who claimed he did the job did a terrible job. Not only that, he was kicked out of the medical department, lost his license. But a long story short, this one surgery caused me to have seven or eight other surgeries to my knees to reconstruct my knees because of the damage eventually caused from that bad surgery and plus other injuries that had happened before. The doctors wanted to replace my knees. They wanted to take the joints out and do everything else and say, well, put artificial knee in. Sometimes, which I did, but I didn't. And after 8 knee surgeries and years of pain, as a matter of fact, the reason I'm living in Florida is because I couldn't climb stairs anymore because of the pain that were in my knees still. And you only talk about the fact that they use NatuBurst. And I'm a man who had not eaten meat. I was on all the best of everything and natural stuff and everything. But even though I'd recovered, the cartilage in my knee had begun to go, come back as evidenced by MRIs and things, I still could not walk without barefoot, well, good thing, barefoot in the house or step on the balls of my feet. NatuBurst came, and with NatuBurst, and with exercise and a positive mind, today I can walk around a lot better than I did then. I can do things with my knees that I had not done. I can stoop down, I can pick up things, I can do other things. But I never, never, never once had the idea that I was not going to walk and walk good again. I refused to walk and limp. So the pain caused my blood pressure to go up and everything. It is such a fascinating thing in life when you try to do things. But through the grace of God, you learn to walk straight. I told my wife to see me walking, bending over, straighten me up, because this sucker is not going to defeat me. And praise be to God. Today I'm walking straight and I'm doing all the things that I can do. And you come back to the word fear. And why we use the word fear? I think Doc used this thing, fear is false evidence appearing real. And that's what it's all about. Those of us who study the Bible are Christians and read the Bible. It says, fear God. And until today, I will not use the word fear God. And people say, why don't you do it? The Bible says fear him. It's a reverent fear. I said, God said nothing about fear. It cannot mean to fear him. You know, I wasn't afraid of my father. I respected my father, even though I was mad at him. But I didn't really say fear him like you're going to kill me. I see of his way because I know I did something wrong. But I don't expect him to try and kill me. Then again, who knows? But the fact remains is that to be afraid is the opposite of whatever you are going to go. They say God is love, so therefore you have to be loved. Being afraid is the thing that cripples you. It takes away your ability to function at a higher level of positivity. It takes away your ability to stay young forever, young ladies, and taught also. It takes away your ability to do like I'm going to do. Live until I'm at least 120. You cannot be afraid. When you read the Bible, wherever you see fear, put love there. Because he tells you in all the, I think in Philippians, about put on the armor of God and should protect yourself. He tells you, if the devil come at you, resist him, he goes away. And if you're going to resist anything, you've got to resist the fear of anything of the devil, because that sucker is evil. So fact remains, fear cripples you. Fear destroys your life. Fear takes your life out of your hands. It takes away your ability to think rationally or positively. So we should never, never walk in fear. Sometimes the thing comes up. I'm not saying that you do not, if you see a poisonous snake, you're going to walk up to it and say, I'm not afraid. No. That would be stupid. You use what you need to do to avoid a snake, and if you have, and make sure that it doesn't get in your way and you don't get in its way. But fear is something that we should never. And I'm saying it doesn't happen to you. My wife is afraid of snakes. And I've been talking to her every day about different things and how to overcome it and what to do and things like that. And little by little, she has gotten better. She don't run screaming anymore. She would come and say, hey, Barry, this is one of my friends. And likewise, I look at it and I say, oh, all right, you're getting a little better. But next time she won't go outside because I said she saw one out there. So it comes and goes. But fear destroys the good things about our human lives. Stay well, everybody. By the way, one more thing. Take a look at a small bird, that anyone who lives in the country, and you see the hawks coming around, and the birds have their babies down there. You ever seen that little bird go up and attack that hawk, or even attack you walking by? It has no fear, because it's protecting its young and doing what it's due. And that's what we should be all about. We are protecting our lives, so we should have no fears. Back to you, Paul. I'm sorry it took so long.
Neville, that was great. Thank you, and special thanks to everybody. We heard from a lot of our Think and Grow Rich family today, and I loved getting different perspectives and hearing stories and hearing the richness of life come through the line from so many of our different Think and Grow Rich family members. I love you, my friends. Let's move forward today. Let's eliminate fear step by step. Let's have faith. Let's cultivate hope. And last but not least, my friends, let's never, ever give up on our dreams. Make it a great day. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.